Well, our theme this year is, in 2014, is Magnify God. How can we magnify and enlarge, make God bigger? How can we magnify and enlarge Jesus in our personal life, in our relationships, our marriage, our family, in our community, at work, in the world? What's it going to take for us to enlarge and make God bigger, to make him more prominent, if you will, in every area of life? And what we've done is we've kind of encouraged you and kind of challenged you to be thinking about, what does that look like to make God bigger, to enlarge him in every aspect, every facet of your life? Now, if you're here, however, and you're not a Christ follower, then magnifying God and making him more prominent, making him bigger, you know, in every part of your life, you know, I'm going to guess that probably, if you're not a follower of Jesus, that's probably not like at the very top of your priority list. And I understand that. I get that. But this talk, this message today, is geared at those who would call themselves Christians. So if you're here and maybe this is your first time, or maybe you've been coming for a few weeks, and maybe you're here and you're still trying to really figure this whole Jesus thing out, this isn't really geared at you. So the good thing about that is that you can kind of relax and you don't have to get uptight or feel any pressure or any guilt on anything we're going to talk about. I mean, we don't do the guilt thing a whole lot anyway, but you don't have to feel any of that. You can just kind of sit there and watch other people around you kind of squirm. So this is a great weekend to be here for that, okay? So in the midst of that, however, and this is good, is that you'll get some insight into what it is that God is calling you and inviting you to be a part of if someday you would like to move that direction. So what I want to talk about today is something that has the potential to help us magnify and make God bigger in our own lives, but it also has the potential to set in motion and create kind of a ripple effect or a domino effect that influences and touches the lives of people all around us. In fact, a lot of times in ways that we may not even really realize. Okay? So that's kind of where we're going today. Now, in my life, one of the things that really just inspires me, I guess, that it recharges me, it energizes me. In fact, it really kind of motivates me as an individual to be a better person, is when I see people serving. When I see people volunteering, I mean, it just does something. Whether it's after a tornado or a hurricane or a flood or an earthquake or some big catastrophe type deal like that, or it's a soup kitchen or a food pantry or something like that. But when I see people who in essence say, you know, I want to take a chunk of my time, which in essence is a chunk of themselves, a chunk of our lives, and I want to use this chunk of my life, chunk of my time, not to get ahead, not to make a bunch more money or anything like, not to go out and buy myself something new, a new car or anything else, but I want to use this part of my life to help other people out. And a lot of times it's people that they don't even really know that well. Maybe they don't know at all. Say, I want to do it. I mean, that to me is just, that's like heroic. I mean, these people are heroes to me. But I tell you, what impresses me even more is when I see people who make serving, volunteering, a lifestyle. And when they make serving kind of something that they do week in and week out, and yes, you know, they're still a part of these, you know, big tragedies that hit us, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, and they'll go and they'll help with that when people get blindsided by that, or they'll go and they'll serve a homeless shelter, or they'll go and help out with Habitat for Humanity 3 or 4 times a year. And I don't want to minimize in any way the importance and how needed those things are and the opportunities that they provide. But when I see people who week in and week out, or sorry, I mean, it is just a lifestyle. I'm telling you, that just inspires me. When I see people like what we see around here at this church at Metro, giving their time, giving their energy to provide environments, almost like irresistible environments where people can come and we can bring friends and invite people to come and be a part of hearing about this God who loves them and cares about them and wants to give their life meaning and purpose and a sense of hope. I mean, that, when I see people doing it, that just, it blows me away. Now, you know, you can serve, you can give your time, you can give your energy, you know, to all kinds of different things. But I'm convinced. I am absolutely convinced that you can't give your time and your energy to anything that will make a deeper, more profound, more lasting difference and impact in people's lives than when you're helping individuals connect with Jesus. When you're helping them discover and get to know this God in a personal way who loves them unconditionally and has a plan and a purpose for their lives. This God who has given us principles on how to maximize our life and maximize our relationships and our marriage. This God who gives us the inner strength to make the changes in our life that we need to make to get our lives on track and keep our lives on track. This God who gives us the inner strength to face with the challenges, the obstacles, the curves that life throws us. And when I see people giving their time to that, and people who are busy people who are sharp, successful individuals say, you know, I've got a lot of things going, but I want to give some of my time to making a difference, to partnering with God. Man, it does something for me. And I think, though, that there are a lot of people who kind of assume, though, that when people give their time like that, you know, like week in and week out, I mean, when it's a lifestyle thing, I think a lot of people, and maybe you're here and you're in the boat, where you assume that people like that, that, you know, if they're able to do that, it must be because they don't really have a life. Maybe, you know, they're just kind of, you know, I don't know, socially awkward. You know, they don't have friends, or, you know, maybe they don't have enough money to have a boat, or they don't even have friends that have a boat they can go to the lake and, you know, buzz around in, whatever. Man, I don't know, but that's not me. But if you knew the caliber of people that we have around here that serve, that are a part of what's going on, that volunteer, I mean, it is staggering. It's staggering. I mean, here's what these individuals who give as a lifestyle and serve as a lifestyle, here's what they understand. What they understand is that small, just small, consistent investments of their time over a long period of time, leveraged with other people who are doing the same thing, can just make a huge difference. They understand that when you just take just a little bit of your time, small, consistent increments of our time, given over an extended period of time, in conjunction, leverage you with others doing that. Man, you can just make a massive difference. What they understand is when you give an hour or two on a weekly basis or an every other week basis, whether, you know, maybe it's teaching children about this God who loves them and has this incredible plan for them. Maybe it's cleaning floors or restrooms or setting up or tearing down like you're doing on our Vandalia campus. Each week, maybe it's helping behind the scenes in the office or running sound or greeting people as they come in. But they understand that as they give just a small, consistent, as they make a small, consistent investment of their time, on an ongoing basis, over a long period of time, leveraged with others, man, that is just going to make a huge, huge difference in the lives of others. I mean, this is like so many other areas of life. When you just make small investments in something, but you do it on a continual basis, there's something about the consistency that is just so important. I mean, think about when you diet. I mean, if you just dieted, you know what, 10 days a year, the rest of the time did whatever, you know, that's great. You're dieting those 10 days. Or maybe even dieted like 1 or 2 weeks a year. It's, you know, if that's all you do, it's not going to make that big of a difference. If you only work out once a month, or you work out a week, a solid week, but only do it 3 times a year, you know, you're going to end up really sore, okay? But it's really not going to do you a lot of good. If you put $100 back in savings once a year or twice a year, you know, that's better than nothing. That's great. Do it. it's not going to make a huge difference. But if you go saving $50 or $100 a week on an ongoing, consistent basis, man, you're going to end up with a nice little emergency fund, maybe even some money to be able to pay cash for your next car. I mean, that's going to serve you. It's just that small, consistent investments over a period of time that allow you to do significant things. And nowhere is that truer than when it comes to investing in people's souls. When it comes to partnering with God in others and providing these environments where people can hear this life-transforming message of hope. That Jesus can actually change somebody's life, give them the direction, and fill that emptiness in their life. Now, serving like this on this like ongoing, you know, week in and week out basis, I mean, the truth is that really shouldn't be something that's unusual. It's the exception. I mean, it should be the norm. For Christ followers, it should just be normal, not because we need to get into the, we need to serve, I need to make sure I'm serving because I need to get into the good grace of God. I need credit with God. If I'll serve every week, you know, oh, God won't be upset with me and I'll be okay. You know, it's not that we serve week in, week out so we can go to heaven. No, man, once you've received Christ, you've placed your faith in Jesus. I mean, that's taken care of. That's good. It's serving that's the outflow of a heart of gratitude and love for God. Just want to say thank you for what you've done for me. It's an outflow of a heart that says, God, you've done so much for me. I want others to be able to experience this difference that you've made in my life. I want them to be able to get this. It's an outflow of wanting to follow the example of Jesus himself. You remember maybe what Jesus said to some of his disciples. They came up to him, a couple of them, they were wanting him to do a special favor for them. And they were looking for a place of prominence. They kind of even got their mom in on this deal. It's like, Mom, will you come and talk to Jesus for us? And so mom comes up to Jesus and says, hey, would you give my boys, two boys, a special place of honor? And the other disciples, the other guys, they find out about it. And they become indignant. They're really hacked off and everything. So Jesus kind of does this. Come here, guys. Come here. Let's sit down here. I need to tell you something. And Jesus says, you need to be clear on something. If you want to be really great, I mean, if you want to like really maximize your life, you got to be the servant of all. You got to be a servant. That's where real greatness comes from. And then he went on and he made this statement right after that, verse 45 of Mark 10. And Jesus, we're going to throw this up here on the screen. And everything we're going to talk about today is really based out of this. It just flows right out of this. Jesus says this, for even the Son of Man, this was a term that Jesus used about referring to himself, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, if there was anyone who deserved to be served, it was Jesus, God in human flesh. But even Jesus said, no, I'm not here to serve. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. True greatness is found in serving, which is virtually the exact opposite of what our culture espouses. Because what our culture tends to espouse is make it to the top. Move up. Whatever you need to do. Upward mobility. How many people do you have working for you? How many people do you have serving you? And Jesus comes along and he like turns that whole model upside down. It says true greatness is about going down. True greatness is about serving, about being concerned enough about the people around you, be willing to selflessly serve and meet their needs. Not to the point of being unhealthy, not to the point of not caring for yourself, not to the point of ignoring your family or your marriage or anything like that. But Jesus says, if you want to be great, if you want to reach your full potential, he's saying, you got to serve. That's where you find significance is in serving. But a lot of us, you know, the truth is we struggle with that. You go, we go, you know, I'm busy. I've got all these things going. I'm not like these other people that have all this time, don't have any friends or anything. You know, I don't know how those people do. That's not me. I mean, I've got things to do. I've got places to be. I've got things going. And besides, man, I don't need Somebody said, I don't need anybody else with hooks or anything else with hooks in me. I've got enough commitments. I've got enough responsibilities in my life. I don't need that. And if I were like to sign up for one of your team things or be there every week or every week, man, then I got to be there. I mean, there's a commitment. I got to show up and I can't just take off to the lake with my boat or I can't go out of town or whatever it is. I can't do that. I don't like that. But what a lot of times we miss out on is that we are missing out on God's best. We're missing out on the opportunity and excitement of being a part of something bigger than ourselves. We're missing out on the adventure and the sense of accomplishment and fulfillment and the internal exhilaration that comes from knowing that we're making a significant contribution in the lives of other people. And not only are we missing out, but the people whose lives we could be touching, they miss out. Well, I think there's some key values that we need to integrate into our lives to be able to live this kind of lifestyle and following that example of that Jesus gave us. And these values are what gives us a desire to serve instead of being served. They're the values that give us the desire to give instead of just always getting. It's what drives those who want to reach out and help and make a difference. It divides them. It separates between those who really want to make a difference and those who simply want to, you know, kind of sit in the bleachers as spectators and enjoy the game and just watch and go, you know, I'd like another hot dog. You know, some more nachos, please. There's a big difference. If we're going to live with this kind of heartbeat, and we need to incorporate these values into our lives. So what I want to do is I want to talk about this today, and I want to do it through the lens of one individual, a guy by the name of Paul, the Apostle Paul. And Paul was probably one of the most remarkable servants outside of Jesus. And God used him in just some really pretty amazing ways. I mean, he wrote most of the New Testament as he wrote letters to different churches, different individuals. He spearheaded the growth of the early church in the first century, just took off like wildfire in this movement that's continued to move and progress this day. But I think if you were to ask someone who really knew Paul, what he was like, I don't really think they would probably even refer to those things. I think what people who really knew him would probably say was, Paul was a guy who just, man, he just really loved Jesus. And he loved doing whatever he could to further the cause of Christ, to let people, to help people have a chance to hear this message that could change their lives. That was Paul. What's interesting is that Paul, though, if he hadn't headed down that path, and Paul probably could have been a very respected, very successful rabbi or religious leader of his day, probably could have lived a very safe, comfortable life, you know, good retirement, vacation home, a Camelback or two, you know, just really enjoying life. And yet he chose to go the route of pursuing a deal that led to actually a lot of hardships in his life. But there's no mistake, Paul was a servant. But what I want us to look at, what were the values that were part of his life that led him to be this kind of servant? And as a result of that, in turn, what are the values that we need to incorporate into our lives to live this kind of life? So what are the values of a person who has discovered the joy of service? And I want to look at four distinct values that we see in the life of the Apostle Paul that we need in our life. And the first one is one that's just vital, it's just so important. Number one, the first value is that servants value their identity as servants. Servants value their identity as servants. The Apostle Paul was very clear about his identity. He was called by God to be a servant. And the truth is, God calls every one of us. If we're Christ followers, God calls each of us to be servants, to be a healthy Christ follower. Understand this, to be a healthy Christ follower is to be a servant. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is that there's something there's really just something freeing. There's something liberating about serving. You don't have to put on airs that you're all high and mighty. You can relax and be yourself, just kind of helping others out. You don't have to keep trying to impress everybody so that you can make it to the top. It's just freeing. And for Paul, serving was just, it's just a way of life. I want you to look at how he started. We're going to throw this up here on the screen. How he started some of the letters they wrote to different churches and different individuals. And I want you to notice especially how he describes himself here. He writes to the Christians in Rome, writes this letter to them, and he starts it out right at the beginning. Romans 1:1 says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. He writes along with Timothy, writes a letter to the Christians in a city by the name of Philippi, and he starts that letter again. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Writes another one to a guy by the name of Titus. And right at the beginning, he just starts it out, making very clear who he is. Paul, a servant of God. And you see the theme here? He understood his identity. He understood his life vocation. His identity was that of a servant. You see, when we understand and accept and appreciate our primary identity is that of a servant, it just changes everything about how we face, how we go through life. As Christ followers, we are fundamentally servants. We are. Being a servant is just who we are. Some of you may recognize the name William Booth. Is also known as General William Booth. Some of you may not recognize the name. Whether you recognize the name or not, William Booth was a founder of a non-for-profit that is one of the most effective non-for-profits really around the world and is to this day. But anyway, William Booth was the founder and years ago it's the Salvation Army. What a little detail here, that you've heard of, right? So he found the Salvation Army, and early on in the history of the Salvation Army, there came a point where the finances were not going real well, and yet he was needing to really encourage and motivate and kind of inspire his leaders in different cities and actually around the world. And yet with finances being low, He had to be careful what he spent. So he decided to send a telegram. This was before all the technology, obviously, we have today, and text and all the different things that Facebook, all these things that we could use today. So telegrams were relatively expensive, and if you don't know how they worked, the more words you had in the message that you sent, the more expensive it got and everything. So in order to keep this down, he sent a one-word telegram. And this one-word telegram was really to set the directional vision for Salvation Army for the coming months. So he sends out this one-word telegram. This is the vision for the next few months. Others. Others. You see, if we're going to experience the fullness of what God has for us, we're going to embrace the value of serving God and serving others. It's who we are. It's our identity. And number two, the second value that we see modeled in the life of Paul that we need to incorporate into our life, number two, is that servants value personal responsibility. Servants take personal responsibility for things. They don't wait for someone else to step up and do whatever it is that they need to do. They just step in and they do it. Servants just step up and serve. Servants step up and they help. They want to make a difference. They want to be a part of the action. I read about an account by C.R. Smith, who is one of the CEOs of American Airlines. This is a number of ways back, a while back. And he was on a flight that had a layover in Nashville, Tennessee. And so while he's there, he decides to go visit the American Airlines counter. And so he walks up to the American Airlines section of the airport, the counter there, and then there are a couple of desks back behind. As he walks up, he sees there are two desks there, and he sees one that nobody's sitting at. It's empty, but the phone is ringing off the hook on this desk. And then there's the other desk right next to it, and there's a guy sitting there with his legs propped up on the desk reading the newspaper. And he goes, hey, your phone's ringing. And the guy goes, no, that's reservations, I'm maintenance, and keeps reading. And C.R. Smith walks behind the counter, picks up the phone, and begins to help this customer who had an emergency situation where they're trying to get to, apparently, California. And he runs through the schedule. He knew it by memory, runs through the whole deal, and finishes taking care of the situation and hangs up the phone. And the guy who's sitting at the desk reading the newspaper kind of lowers the newspaper, apparently, and says, "Wow, way to go. That was really good. Do you work for American Airlines?" And C.R. Smith said, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. And you used to." Well, we've all seen that attitude, though, haven't we? I mean, that attitude is, it's not my job. It's not my responsibility. And we just walk right past need after need after need after need. Whenever we see something that needs to be done, when you say, a lot of times what we end up doing is we go, "Wow, you know, yeah, somebody needs to do something. Man, wow, man, they need to do something about that." Who is that mythical they? That's us. We are. We need to take responsibility. We need to take responsibility for things. I mean, that's just a core value for people who are servants. It's part of their value system. Personal responsibility. It's a mark. It's a mark of a servant. One of the values that we need to integrate into our life. One of the values we see in the Apostle Paul. Look at this passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul says, "For to me, to live," he's kind of reaching later in his life. Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And he goes on, "If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ," or I'd just soon die and go on and be with Christ, "which is better by far." Verse 24, "But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body." What's Paul saying? He's saying my life is about Jesus. My life is about loving and honoring Jesus. But to die, he says, is even better. But if I'm here, it's to serve. So he's kind of torn. He says, I'm here to serve others. I'd rather go on and be with Jesus, with Christ. But I know that for the time being, he says, I need to be here. I need to be serving you. I need to be serving others. How's his heartbeat? And Paul, he just saw each day as a wonderful new opportunity to serve God and serve other people. It was an opportunity. Each day was a new opportunity to make a significant difference for God. And then the third value that we see modeled in the life of Paul and that we need to incorporate in ours is that servants value maintaining an outward focus. They live their lives turned outward, not inward. It's the way they live. There's just an infectious joy and a sense of exhilaration that comes from helping others. And yet, the truth is, for a lot of us, it's just so easy, at least I know it is for me, to get caught up in ourselves and in, you know, what we want, what we need, what we feel, what's comfortable and convenient for us, and we lose all sense of what's going on in the lives of others around us. So what Paul says in Philippians, again, Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit," saying, don't live your life that way. Don't live your life self-absorbed, self-focused. I mean, that's just a dead-end road. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves." He says, each of you should look not only to your own interests. Now, I want you to just pause there and notice that it's assumed that we're going to take care of ourselves. Okay, we're going to take care of our own interests, our own needs. We need to make sure that we're healthy ourselves if we're going to be able to help anybody else. We can't help others if we're not healthy ourselves. So verse 4, he says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, you need to be taking care of your own interests, but not only your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then he goes on, we don't have it up here, in the very next verse says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. This was Jesus' attitude, an attitude of serving other people. We need to live with an outward focus, not an inward focus, not just consumed with ourselves. I want this. I want that. I want new this. I want new that. I want the latest of, you know, whatever it is. We need to learn to look and see. I mean, really see the needs and the hurts of people around us. You see, looking at someone's life with empathy, that takes effort. It takes trying to feel what they feel, trying to see, really see, beyond a lot of times the surface to see what's going on in them. It means taking our eyes off ourselves and turning them outward towards other people and what's going on there. Because you see, when you see a life that's been changed, but because you've seen a need and you've been there and you've met need, you've been serving. And when you see a life that has changed as a result of that, and you realize, man, God used me. God used me to be a part of that. When you experience that, you get hooked on serving. Whether it's a high schooler or an adult that doesn't feel loved and accepted, and all of a sudden something clicks for them and a light bulb goes on and they get it. There is a God who loves me. Loves me and cares about me and accepts me for who I am with all my faults and flaws. And they turn to Christ and their life is redirected and things change for them. And all of a sudden, when you're serving and you see someone's life that was changed and you go, man, I played a part. It may have just been a small part, but I played a part in that. I mean, that is powerful stuff. But it's the result of living with that outward focus where it's not just all about me and me going and doing whatever it is that I want to do. God says, I want to do something significant with my life. I want to be a part of the action where things are happening. And then there's a fourth value that we see modeled in the life of Paul and that we need to integrate into our own lives. We need to incorporate into our lives. And that is that servants value perseverance. They value stick-to-itiveness. They value steadfastness. True servants know the importance of being in it for the long haul. They know the importance, the value of being in it for the duration. See, serving isn't about just showing up here and there and making myself available at my convenience. It's about being there when there's a need. It's about being available and reliable. It's about being able to be counted on and being determined to see things through to completion. Servants know. I mean, they just know that serving matters. They know it matters. They know it matters at home. They know it matters at work. They know it matters in church. They know it matters whatever the environment. They know serving matters. People need to know that we can be counted on. Even when the serving involves hardships and sacrifices and it involves making significant demand or it makes significant demands on our lives. Look, this is another powerful verse where Paul expresses one of these values. It's something that we don't always see how critical this is, but look at what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. And then look at this. This is interesting. Always, not just sometimes, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And then notice this last statement. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. He's saying that whatever we do for God is never a waste. I mean, there are a lot of things that we do in life that are never really going to matter that much. I mean, in all honesty, there are a lot of sporting events. There are a lot of big sales that we get. Man, we get all fired up and we get excited about these things. But if we just slow down and think in the big scope of things, I mean, really the big scope of life, who really cares? I mean, I know you care, but who really cares who wins the game? And man, we just had this big worldwide event, the World Cup. Man, I was excited. I wasn't too excited about who lost, but who really cares? It's just not really that big of a deal. Yeah, you get all fired up about the sale, and man, I saved $20. Woo! I saved $200 on this television. I've got this big television. I mean, it's got more whistles and bells. You don't even know how to work it. I mean, it's got so many whistles and bells. But wow, we got this incredible, incredible deal. And it's great. And you know, yeah, great bargain. You know what's going to happen? Next year, they're going to come out with a more souped-up model than yours, and one of your good friends is going to get it, and you're going to see it, and you're going, oh, man, I got this old dinosaur last year. You still don't know how to work it, but, man, I need something better. It really doesn't matter. It's just not that big of a deal. It really isn't. We can get involved with what God is doing. It matters. Well, there are a lot of things that don't matter, and in the big scope of things, they really don't matter. But when we join up with what God is doing in the world, what God is doing in our community, I mean, that matters. Servants of Jesus know that what they're doing, it matters. That's what this passage of Scripture is saying. It matters not just now, but it matters throughout all eternity. That's why they stick in there through thick and thin. Servants are tenacious. They don't give up. Serving is a chance to impact lives for all eternity. I don't know about you, but there is very little in my life that I can imagine mattering more than making an eternal difference in the lives of people. When I'm partnering with God, even the little things matter. And there's not a phone answered. There's not a floor cleaned or a restroom cleaned. There's not a diaper change that isn't significant. God sees every act and infuses that act of service with significance and importance. You see, small, consistent investments of time over a long period of time, leveraged with others who are doing the same thing, can make a huge difference. Even just small investments of time, consistent investments of time over a long period of time, leveraged with others that are doing the same thing, man, it can just make a massive, huge difference. So here's my challenge. I just want to be really, really straightforward. See, Jesus, working through the church, and the church is people, okay? The church isn't a building. We get a little confused about that. The church is not a building. The church is people. We are the church. Jesus working through us, Jesus working through people, is the hope of the world. And so unapologetically, I invite you, I challenge you to get out of the bleachers, out of the stands, and to get into the game, to quit being a spectator and say, God, you can count me in. God, I'm in. I want to be a part of it, because you realize you're beginning to get, maybe you already understood, just small, consistent, incremental investments of time over an extended period of time, over a long period of time. When you leverage that with others who are doing the same thing, man, it can make such a lasting, significant difference. And the stakes are sky high. God wants to invite you to be a part of changing lives, men and women's and boys and girls' lives for all eternity. People's eternal destinies are being redirected. God is changing lives. He's changing lives here at Metro through this church. Lives are being changed, and you can be a part of that. Marriages and families are finding healing, moving towards health. People with wrecked, fragmented, broken, empty lives are finding wholeness in Jesus. People who are lonely, people with insecurities, with fears, people with low self-esteem are finding acceptance and love in Jesus. And you can be a part of that. Now, some of you, you may think, well, you know, man, I just don't think they really need me around there. I mean, man, everything just seems to be going so great. Everything works so smooth. And you know what? There's a sense in which some of that's true, because there's nothing, you know, it's imploding around here. Wheels aren't falling off of anything. But we don't want that to happen. And we're growing. God is doing things. We need everybody involved. And we're wanting to start new campuses to do more, to reach more people for Christ. We need more people involved, more people being trained, more people serving. We want to give individuals the opportunity to be a part of what God is doing. Because here's what we're discovering. What we're discovering is that God is alive and well. And we're discovering that there is a big difference between knowing about God, and actually knowing God. And when we really come to know God in a true, genuine way, He gives us a new sense of purpose and meaning that just wasn't there. It's just not the same as before. And there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing that competes with the excitement and the exhilaration and the sense of fulfillment and meaning that comes from joining up with God, partnering with God in His movement, His revolution in the world. Things are just boring. There's just a big yawn compared to that. When you begin to serve and you begin to see lives being changed by the transforming work of the gospel, the transforming work of Jesus in people's lives, man, you realize, I can't imagine doing life not being a part of that. We're going to wrap up, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to listen to a song in just a minute. And we're going to come back, and we're going to give you some specific ways to get involved, to plug in, some opportunities that are there for you. My challenge, say, God, count me in. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be a part of that. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I pray that this would be a time where we get honest with ourselves in evaluating and looking at ourselves and how we're doing when it comes to serving. How we're doing at living out these values. I want you to just take a moment right now to just kind of assess how you're doing in this area of your life. See, we're never going to find significance apart from serving God and serving others, following the example of Jesus Himself. Why don't you use this as a time? Say, God, help me to begin to integrate these values into my life. And pray something like this and say, God, help me to understand more fully my identity as a servant, to understand my identity in Christ. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christ follower yet. And yet right now, right here today, you say, man, I want to be a part of something significant. I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. And all you need to do is you need to humble yourself before God. In your heart, you say, God, I know that I've sinned. Done a lot of things that are just for me. I didn't care about everybody else. I didn't care about making a difference in people's lives. God, I want to make you bigger. I want to enlarge you in my heart. I want to magnify you. So God, today, I'm putting my faith in Jesus. I want you to be the leader, the forgiver, the savior of my life. I accept your gift of forgiveness by faith in what Jesus did on the cross. That's why Jesus came, to serve. To be a ransom, to pay the ransom payment for our sins. God, help me to understand fully how I can find significance in serving you and serving others. God, help me to take personal responsibility, not just to expect others to do things, but when I see a need, to just step in and help out, to be a part of what you're doing. God, help me to live my life with an outward focus. And to stick in there, to persevere, being a part of what you're doing. Lord, my prayer is that each of us here, each person who's here, who isn't already involved in serving you, I pray to say, count, God, you can count me in. God, I want to take at least a small, consistent amount of my time, and I want to invest that time for you. So small, consistent investments of time or a long period of time, when you leverage that with others, it makes such a huge difference. So God, take that and use it to impact lives. I pray this in Jesus' name.